Let us read the word of God together. Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Worship the Lord in the center of
the souls. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon.
He makes Lebanon weep like a calf, Syria like one.
The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning.
The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert
of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all cry, glory.
The Lord sits enthroned over the Lord is
the Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses people with peace. Psalm 29:1-11. The Lord bless the reading of his word. Please be seated.
Good morning, everyone. The voice. What comes to mind when we think of this in our society, in our culture today? Or when we think of the American reality TV show, the singing competition called The Voice, who searches for new vocal talent from among aspiring artists in public auditions, the 11th season of which premieres tonight, after the closing ceremony of the Olympics. When we think of The Voice, we also think of actors and celebrities like Morgan Freeman, who has portrayed the voice of God in many movies, in many documentaries. James Earl Jones, the voice of Darth Vader. Sean Connery and Arnold Schwarzenegger, who each have unique and recognizable voices. We think of national leaders like Xi Jinping, Barack Obama, Angela Merkel, Vladimir Putin, Pope Francis. These are all people who have powerful voices in our world today. You know, as well, when we think of voice, we know the power. We know the power that words can have. Don't we? Words can change the atmosphere of a room just like that. It can create something out of nothing, or it can easily take away from what was there to begin with. When Deb and I were on a cruise recently, we attended an interdenominational worship service on a Sunday morning. An elderly chaplain, about 70-odd, 80 years old, was speaking that morning. And in the middle of the sermon, he paused for a very long time. It wasn't just like a short pause. He wasn't just forgetting what he was saying. He wasn't just blanking out. He wasn't having a senior moment like some of us have. He paused for a very long time, 20, 30, 40 seconds. And then he stumbled about and he actually fainted. He fainted. The whole room was stunned. No one knew what to do. You don't normally see a preacher fall over and collapse like that while preaching. I hope you never will see it on Fraser Lands here. And someone stepped forward. Someone who was attending the service stepped forward. He was probably a pastor. He was dressed like a pastor. He had the authority like one as well. And he told us to pray. To just spend a moment in prayer for the chaplain. And so we did. We felt a calmness, a peace come over us as we prayed, as we voiced our concern to the Lord. So in a short period of time, the atmosphere changed dramatically from everyone listening intently to the voice of the chaplain as he was preaching, to him fainting, and we were totally in shock, to us praying for him because someone voiced out and asked us to, and we did, to then a crew member, a crew of the ship, stepping forward, stepping in, and telling us to leave the auditorium. We actually weren't ready to leave the auditorium yet. We hadn't finished praying yet. We're still in prayer, and we're just about to say the Lord's Prayer together. But then they said, it's time to go. And they disbanded everyone. You see, our words, our voice, as we speak, can change the atmosphere of the room just like that. You may have experienced something like this before in your own experiences, in your own encounters in life. Okay, so before I get very far and before I leave you all hanging, the chaplain was okay afterwards. He rested for a week and he came back and he held a service the following week, just so that you're not taken away by that thought of what happened to him. As I read this psalm, Psalm 29, I imagine David writing this psalm when he felt powerless, when he felt hopeless because of the situations he was facing in life. He was crying out to God. He was crying out for God's mercy. He was crying out for justice, for righteousness to prevail. He wanted God to act. Have you ever felt that way before? You're so desperate, you wanted God to act. David felt his soul was restless and in great turmoil. And then he recalls the voice of the Lord speaking. You see, the Lord speaks in response to the psalmist's plea. David's plea for God to not remain silent. We see this in the psalm just before that. In Psalm 28, we read this, verses 1 and 2. To you, Lord, I call. You are my rock. Do not turn a deaf ear to me. For if you remain silent, I will be like those who go down to the pit. Hear my cry for mercy as I call to you for help, as I lifted my hands toward your most holy place. David was pleading. He was pleading for the Lord to speak to him. And as God answers, David can hear. He can hear the voice of the Lord in the storm. We see in these verses in Psalm 29 that 7 times the phrase, the voice of the Lord, is repeated. In verse 3, the voice of the Lord. In verse 4, twice, the voice of the Lord, the voice of the Lord. In verse 5, in verse 7, in verse 8, in verse 9. You see, this psalm describes for us just how a storm moves through the land of Palestine. It starts from the waters of the Mediterranean Sea, and it moves eastward to the plains, to the mountains of Israel. And then from the Lebanon mountains up north, it moves south towards the barren wastelands, the wilderness, the desert lands of Kadesh. The whole of Israel is surrounded by the voice of God. The whole of Israel is surrounded by the glory of God. The voice of the Lord in the storm encompasses all that is around. In essence, this psalm gives us a very vivid picture of who God is. It gives us a very picture of God and of what God can do. You see, the Lord controls all of creation with just his majestic voice. His voice thunders over the mighty waters. His voice breaks the cedars into pieces. His voice shakes the mountains and the deserts. His voice commands flashes of lightning. His voice twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. His voice alone can make the forest of Lebanon dance. Here, we see the power of God. The power of God over the seas in verses 3 and 4. And we see the power of God over the whole earth in verses 5 to 9. It is the Lord himself, the Lord himself, who has sovereign control over everything. Over everything. Not ourselves. I know some of us may think we have control over things. Not ourselves. Not the gods of this world. Not money, not fame, not power, not evil, not greed. And not the God of nature, as some may believe. But the Lord God alone. He alone has sovereign control over everything, even in the midst of a storm. So when the storms of life surround us, do we also hear the voice of the Lord in the middle of these storms? In verse 3, when David writes, "The voice of the Lord is over the waters." We're reminded, aren't we? We're reminded of the scene of Jesus in the boat with his disciples. And a storm arose, tossing the boat violently, causing great fear among the disciples. But Jesus, the Word of God, the voice of God, speaks. And everything changes. The wind and the waves, the storm obeys him. Because he alone has sovereign control over the storms, over the seas of life. The storm recognized. It recognized the voice of Jesus. You see, when the Lord speaks, something always happens. Always. When God said, "Let there be light," there was light. When Jesus said, "Quiet, be still," the wind and the waves obeyed him. When he said, "Be clean," the leper and the diseased were cleansed. When he said, "Be healed," the blind, the deaf, the mute, the paralyzed were healed. When he called out, "Lazarus, come out," the dead man came out of the grave. Now, there are different ways that the voice of the Lord will come to us. It may come to us through a powerful thunder to Israel at Mount Sinai. It may come to us through a still small voice to Elijah. It may come to us through the rustling of the leaves on a late summer's day. So whatever form it comes in to us, it is no less majestic. Sometimes his tone is caressing. It's caressing and gentle, like that of a father, like that of a mother. Sometimes it is consoling. As the Bible says, he is the God of all comfort. Sometimes his tone is convicting. It's reproving of us when we sin, when we go our own way. 2 Timothy says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Whatever tone God's voice may be to you right now, we cannot help but be captivated. We cannot help but be captured by it, like thunder captures and captivates us. When the sound of thunder comes, everything pales in comparison to it. When he speaks, when the voice of the Lord is heard, we may tremble or we may be in amazement, but we must listen to it. We must heed his voice. We must heed his word. The voice of the Lord in the storm. But elsewhere, scripture reminds us that we can also find the voice of the Lord in the silence. In the Old Testament, it says in 1 Kings 19, "And the word of the Lord came to him," that is to Elijah, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and might, a powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him. As well, in the New Testament, Mark 1, chapter 1, verse 35 says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went out to a solitary place where he prayed. Luke 5:16 says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Have you noticed that in the mornings, sounds are clearer? Sounds are crisper? They're more defined? Have you noticed that? Is it any wonder that our Lord took this time, took this early morning hour to listen to and to commune with the Father? When we go about the busyness of our day, there are often too many distractions to hear clearly amidst the hustle and the bustle of the day. When Deb and I went to Palm Springs just last weekend, we were literally in the desert. We didn't realize that at first. We booked the holidays just very last minute. We had never gone there before. We got a really good price on the airline tickets and on the hotel. And we wanted to have a little bit of a getaway, not knowing that everyone else in Palm Springs wanted to get away as well. See, it was their low season. No one goes to Palm Springs in July and August. All the locals were not there. It was 45 degrees in the day and a chilling 32 degrees at night. Sorry we brought the heat back with us. Anyways, we would get up really early in the morning, usually 5 or 5:30 in the morning, to start our day. It was during these early morning hours that we're able to hear many things, many sounds around us. You see, in the desert, you can hear different sounds. Sounds of the wind blowing through the desert valley. Sounds of the doves cooing. Sounds of the birds singing. Sounds of crickets chirping. Sounds of cicadas buzzing. The sounds of hummingbirds, dragonflies, and owls. These are some of the sounds and some of the voices that the Lord was speaking to us through his creation. Now sometimes he's silent. But most of the time, the Lord is speaking. And the majestic glow on the mountaintops as he ushers in the first light of day reminds us that his mercies are new every morning. The scorching heat of the midday sun recalls the intensity of God's holiness, the intensity of God's righteousness, the intensity of the judgment that is to come. The gentle breeze of a late afternoon wind refreshes us like streams in the desert. What sounds, what sights have you been hearing lately? What voices have been speaking into you and influencing your life? It's only when we're silent that we can hear the sounds around us. Has your heart, has your soul been silent lately? Someone timed that perfectly. More importantly, has your soul and has your heart been silent and attentive to the Lord, to the Lord's voice, to the thunders, to the gentle whispers of the Lord. What is he saying to you this morning? What has he been saying to you all this time? Do you hear the voice of the Lord? Do you hear the voice of the Lord when you pray? When you read his word? Do you hear the voice of the Lord when you journal? When you come to worship or when you worship at home? Do you hear the voice of the Lord when you're in his creation? Sometimes we must stop and pause to hear God's voice. As he was in the storm, we must remember that he is in control, even in the silences of our lives. Have you been wowed by God recently? Have you been wowed by his magnificence, his power, his authority, his sovereign control? Or have we lost our awe of God? You know, in this passage of scripture in Psalm 29, Psalmist David, he was able to see God for who he really is. And as a result, I can hear him saying this. I can hear him saying, if the Lord can do all this, you know, then surely we are to declare his glory. We're to declare his glory. In the past 2 weeks of the Olympics, we've been able to see a lot of amazing feats, a lot of world records being broken. Now, history was being made by the Canadian women's swim team, by 16-year-old Penny Oleksiak winning 4 medals in her first Olympics, by a pair of Canadian women taking home silver in rowing as they made a charge to the finish line, by the Canadian women's soccer team winning their 2nd bronze medal in back-to-back Olympics, by the Canadian women's rugby team finishing strong and getting onto the podium. Why is it all the women winning all the time? Good for them. By Canadian high jumper Derek Druin capturing a gold medal by matching his best jump of the season. By Canadian track and field Andre DeGrasse winning 3 Olympic medals and proving himself to be the person to watch in the 2020 Games. I love the friendship and the bromance that he has with Usain Bolt, who himself set an Olympic record, winning a triple-triple, 3 gold medals in 3 track and field events over the past 3 years. He's probably considered the fastest runner ever. Then there's Michael Phelps, who with 28 medals and 23 gold medals of those 28, is the highest Olympic medal winner of all time. And then just last night, just yesterday afternoon, the Brazil men's soccer team beat out Germany to win their first ever gold medal in Olympic soccer in front of their hometown fans. Imagine that. The stadium must have gone ballistic. But as amazing, and as splendid, and as glorious as these athletes were, as their accomplishments were, they all pale in comparison to what the Lord is doing, to what the Lord has done. He is the creator of all things. He's the creator of life and of the whole universe. He's the creator of all these athletes. Who gave these athletes the gifts to begin with? Who knit them together in the mother's womb, as Pastor Bert preached on last week? God creates. The Lord creates with just his voice. He creates with just his voice. And with his majestic voice, he has sovereign control over everything. He sustains everything from day to day, from year to year, from century to century. And that's why the psalmist says, we're to fall to our knees in worship. We're to cry out glory in his sanctuary. David declares in this psalm just how strong, just how splendid God is. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. No one can dethrone him. No one can break his records. No one can match his accomplishments, his feats, his glory. No one. Not now, not ever. Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. I hope you'll join with me as we sing these last two songs, that you would declare glory to God, that you would sense the glory of his Spirit, the Shekinah glory of God falling upon this room as you worship him, that you would invite the Lord into the everyday minute details of your life so that his voice can be heard throughout 24 hours a day of your life and not just when you come to church on Sunday. Let's stand together, shall we? Let's worship the Lord. Let's cry out for his voice to be heard, and let's praise him for who he is to us today.